baby. QB, man.
QB, bro, like Queensbridge, man. That's the honest, that's the biggest housing projects in America, first of all. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stars come out of Queensbridge, man. Large Professor, Nas, Roxanne Shanté, Mobb Deep, Tragedy Gaddafi, you know. Oh, man. You got, I mean, that's just Queensbridge, you know, but Queens alone, right? Yeah. You know, you got 50. So many people come out of that borough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so most definitely, man, like, that Murder Music, man, that was the third album. And that's definitely one of my favorite albums, too, out of their collection, out of their catalog.
That one was heavy. It sounded like it was a lot more heartfelt content. You know, a lot more pain in that.
Mm.
And I'm not saying there wasn't pain in the other one. However, the theme was like a lot painting. They paint pictures in both. However, they're painting the picture on how they feel about certain things.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in the first one they were painting more of a picture of how things actually are.
Mm.
But now you're expressing how you feel about these things in the streets.
Mm.
Or how sad it is to see a brother pass, or to lose your own brothers
mm-hmm.
to something that's not worth losing your life to.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, man. You know, Murder Music is, I mean, the title speaks for itself, right?
Yeah.
And Mobb Deep really, they ushered in that real, like, gangster on the East Coast, you know?
Mm.
I mean, there was Cool G Rap and stuff like that too, right? But you know, it was like that Murder Music, you know, Mobb Deep was definitely responsible for that.
Okay.
Most definitely. Yeah, man. So
yeah, let's move on and get back into this documentary.
Well, then why don't you tell the people the name of the songs that they were listening to?
You're right, man. I gotta give it to them, cause those are fire songs. Starting off with Streets Raise Me.
Yep.
Mobb Deep.
That's the first track off of the Murder Music album.
Raekwon featuring Big Noid as well.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to What's Your Poison featuring Cormega.
That's right.
And the next one is Quiet Storm.
Yep.
Doom, doom.
Yep.
Classic. Moving on to that last track with the beautiful hook by the... I don't know who's singing that hook. Thug Music. Uh-huh. Yep, shout out to her. Sounds dope. That one was Thug Music. And all off the Murder Music album. All four in a row, baby.
Indeed.
Off that Murder Music. Unfiltered, raw. You hearing it here at the Boom Bap Syndicate, baby.
No doubt, baby. Let's go. Boo, 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 boo.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to Mobb Deep all day.
Mobb Deep.
So we're going to get into that podcast, that documentary.
At that time, we were trying to prove ourselves to the world because we had just gotten dropped. We just put out a flop album called Juvenile Hell when we was only like 16 years old at the time. My mind wasn't there all the way.
I was sitting in the projects in my mom's crib, 4115, apartment 3A. Mad 40 bottles everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And just like, let's do something more.
Mentally, we were in a place where we was like, yo, man, we gotta get it together, man. This is what we wanna do with our life.
Next thing you know, Matty C, Scott Free, you know what I'm saying? They started some label with Steve Rifkin.
Loud Records, which was Steve Rifkin's sort of upstart label at the time. The A&Rs were Matt Life and Scott Free, who were editors at The Source.
We got the opportunity to work at Loud Records. We were facilitators, man. Like, we were bridging gaps at the time.
They were known for just not being jaded, not really, they were just about the music.
So we went in, started making new songs, and we brought it back to Maddie. Like, yo, check our new shit out.
From the day I heard the demo, I was just happy to have the opportunity to be a part of that next real movement in classic hip hop.
Yeah, first of all, who gives these two kids a second chance? Nobody gets a second chance, but they could hear something.
And they brought us in the office.
It was just really a cubicle inside of the RCA building.
They was like gung-ho about the whole thing the whole time, you know what I'm saying? So everything just was perfect. We had free range to do anything that we wanted, like musically, you know what I mean? And that was the basis of us signing to Loud Records, is that they was like, yo, just here, take this money, go in the studio, do whatever you want.
That's true, man. You know, Mob got their money and got the ability to make the record that they wanted.
They switched labels, they joined Loud, and it actually went the opposite of most artists. They kind of polish up, but moving to Loud actually unpolished Mob Deep.
I just said, let's just do us. We can't go wrong with that.
And we're trying to show the world, you know, what we could bring to the table and how we were different than anything else that was out there.
I was basically like screaming at life, just venting.
I feel like Mobb Deep was always the guys that were actually sitting on the bench in the courtyard in Queensbridge, sort of living that lifestyle hand to hand.
Killer B, that's Havoc's brother. Rest in peace.
He was 1 year younger than me, you know what I'm saying? He was like the wild one, holding it down and shooting and doing this, that, and the third. And, you know, he passed away, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, too early.
This is not just the fun parts of dark street thug life. This is like the ugly parts of it, too. There was lots of paranoia and deep depression.
I just found myself finding samples that was dark, you know, and I was just more compelled to those. It was an intense feeling in the music that I was trying to make.
Havoc's gonna make a dark beat, because, you know, he's not thinking no happy thoughts in his head, you know what I'm saying? The lyrics is gonna be dark for the same reason.
They got more gritty on The Infamous, and it also matched with Loud's sort of invention of the street team.
There was a different way to promote it through hip-hop's already built-in culture of graffiti.
It was like vandalism, what if you were from the outside.
Where there'd be stickers and signs, posters, vans that were wrapped with their logo.
Or you go to a club and it'd be like Mobb Deep stickers thrown all over the floor.
If you see it on the street, then you're that much closer to it than if you, you know, see it on TV. Nobody wants that. They want word of mouth. And I think that that really helped Mobb Deep build their sort of mystique.
We were fortunate enough to have, you know, experience and resources that were able to enhance their vision.
So we took control of our own project, and, you know, that was, you know, throwing the dice. That was rolling the dice right there.
Oh, man, it's do or die. Either do this or you go home and get a job at Verizon. Nah, it's not an option.
Our backs was against the wall. It was like now or never. It was like do or die. If this don't do nothing, then we could just fucking pack it up. By the time Infamous came, our mind was like, yo, it's either do or die.
And our mind is always thinking back to the time where Juvenile Hell didn't work, and we can't let that happen again. We had to come out swinging.
That year that The Infamous came out was sort of a turning point for the East Coast hip-hop scene.
Before The Infamous came out in 1994, the New York scene was kind of getting its footing again. Before that, what the West Coast was getting a lot of traction with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
So New York was kind of feeling like the walls was closing in on us. We need something to kind of go against Snoop, like, because Snoop and Dre is basically, if this keeps going, they're going to forget about us.
If you were from the East Coast, if you were from New York, where everybody was very tried and true and proud of being the birthplace of hip-hop, there was a little bit of unrest.
When we saw Snoop and the Dog Pound in the video, and they were kicking over like our buildings in Queens and stomping through New York, we looking at the video like it was kind of disrespectful, like in a way.
Oh yeah, we was going in. We was going in. We was like, yeah, word. Oh, we making a record today. You know what I'm saying? Niggas saying, fuck Mobb Deep. All right, cool, check it. Here we go.
When I heard the Mobb Deep joint, it was just street anthem after street anthem, man. It kind of confirmed that New York, like underground hip hop, was about to explode.
I think it reclaimed New York as the hub of hip hop.
It was Mobb Deep reasserting themselves.
There was a sense of like, man, we just got our flag back in the sand.
For that year to see Mobb Deep kind of take it back in a very aggressive way was also very refreshing.
It made New York people believe in New York again.
When you listen to it now, you know how influential it was then.
As a body of work, Mobb Deep's Infamous, it's a classic album.
The first track that I heard off of the Infamous was Like Many, Shook Ones Part 2.
Perfect for MCs to rhyme too aggressively, to really just talk about the dark realities of the time.
It's one of the creepiest, darkest, I'm gonna stab everybody in the face right now beats to a record ever.
Definitely an aggressive record. Definitely get some shit started. Definitely get some shit started.
I'm gonna tell you straight up and down, radio did not jump right on that right away. Yeah. The street did, so then it made radio feel like we might be behind the ball a little bit. We need to jump on it.
I don't really remember hearing the songs off the Infamous on the radio, because I just remember experiencing them in the clubs. And the way that you knew that a song was a bona fide hit that way was not through radio spins, but by the number of fights that would break out as soon as those first beats came on. Literally, it would just be mass hysteria, like chaos. And that was definitely Mobb.
This is something that I've never heard before.
You gotta respect talent. These brothers are super talented, man. Super.
After Shook Ones came out and we had somewhat of a certain level of success.
Yes, yeah. Super talented indeed, brother.
Yo, man, as you heard her say, the way that they knew a song was fire is if motherfucking niggas was fighting in the club. That's how you knew it was certified.
Yeah, that is what she said.
Yo, man, and if you ever seen them talk about the club Tunnel, man, that was the spot. Like Tunnel.
The Tunnel, yeah.
Tunnel, man, that was the spot. And actually, the owner of that was a Canadian guy. I'll have to go back and remember his name. But yeah, man, it was every Sundays apparently in Manhattan there, I think it was. And yeah, man, that was the spot. Like, yo, they did a whole documentary on the Tunnel. Like the way, like that's the lineup was crazy, and they would search you like as if you was going into the pen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like. Seriously.
Yeah.
Squatting and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, and the bouncers were nuts. Like, the bouncers would be robbing niggas for their chains, all kinds of shit. Like,
yeah.
Yo, crazy, bro. Like, yo, I'm telling you, like, when I watched this documentary, man, I was like, yo, the Tunnel was the spot. But if you were hot at the Tunnel, yo, you were certified, you know?
Mm.
And so the mob, man, you know, they did a lot of work in the Tunnel, man. You know, a lot of work in the Tunnel, and yeah, man, just, you know, that feeling, right? Like, yo, if this doesn't hit, like, yo, he said you're gonna go work at Verizon, you know?
Yeah, I heard that too.
You
he
know?
Said it's do or die.
It's do or die, yeah. Really. You know?
And in that situation, it really does feel like that.
Absolutely.
And it's really, and they got over that wall, clearly.
Because I'm sure them brothers probably felt hopeless at times. You know what I mean? Like, just being in the projects, drinking, smoking, mm-hmm. killing, like, all of that, right? Like, you know, and there's an opportunity to make it out and feed your family, right? So, yeah, man, you know, that's how I feel about music today to this day.
Yeah,
you know what
shit,
I mean?
Like, shit.
Ain't nothing in this world that I'd rather be doing more than rapping, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about nothing else that much. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I love this. This is like, this is where brothers shine the most,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah, man, most definitely, bro.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get into more music.
Yeah, man, we got some Canadian artists we're going to run through now, man.
Yeah, we got a quick Canadian lineup.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to start it off with...
What's this nigga's name? Junk, man.
With the brother
Junk.
Shout
out Junk, man.
Shout out to Junk, baby. Hometown Hoops.
Some just finished off a tour.
Yeah.
I think he's in Europe now, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, big up to Junk, bro. You know what I mean?
We're going to set it off with My Table.
Let's go.
By Junk. Shout out Van City. Represent.
Look, I've been putting in that dumb work. Shout out to the real ones on the come up that have done dirt. Move so many packs over the phone that they thumbs hurt. Get rich or die trying, it's just which one come first. I remember ain't nobody picking us. See some green, now they switching clubs like it's pitch and putt. American flag, same color as the Crips and Bloods. I ain't picking sides, if you hungry, you can sit with us. That's the shit I'm rolling with. And if you fucking salty, lower your dosages of sodium. That shit'll fuck your head up more than coca, more than opium. Custodian, cleaning up my own shit, let the homies in. An army marches on its stomach, soldiers of Napoleon. And if you wanna go to war, it's Trojans of the Soviets. With Genghis Khan, with control of the Mongolians. Moral of the story, stay fat, it's the goal again. Eating since the signature, the label. Black Thought, favorite rapper, but I'm listening to Quavo. Get the whole bread, middle of the bagel. On the road, fair like you win a Winnebago. Only couple people at my table. If you fucking hungry, I got flavor. Yes, bitch, I'm signed to a label. And if you double cross me, when I cross you, break your ankle. I don't got no killers on the payroll. Talk that shit, you going out of business like a payphone. Industry is spinning in tornado. Cheddar split it with you, get the case. I just got no business at my table.
Yes, sir.
Boom, boom, boom.
Y'all hear that, man?
That was the J-U-N-K, man.
Yes,
straight
sir.
Out the motherfucking slums of Van City, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yo, man, this is Boom Bap Syndicate, baby. It's been a glorious evening. We've gotten to really showcase, you know, Mobb Deep. And obviously, I mean, their catalog is so large, man. They got so many mixtapes and so much more, right? But... you know, it was very impactful to hear their experience, you know, their pain, and sharing that with us, man.
Yeah, going from the streets into the corporate world.
Indeed.
Just going through a change, you know.
Indeed.
And to everyone going through a change right now, that's what I say. I say persevere.
Persevere.
Get to the other side.
Oof. Even though it seems hard.
Yeah.
Just keep fighting.
Yeah, don't be a shook one.
Don't be a shook one.
The Boom Bap Syndicate, CJSF 90.1 FM.
That's right, baby.
Every Saturday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m.
We here.
We appreciate y'all for tuning in.
Love y'all.
King Wise, hard body, bah, King Wise. Peace.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Spend time while you can. The fathers were gone.
el amor. Banda, 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 se olvida. Busco un pretexto para deshacerme. La culpabilidad de no saber qué sucede.
Desapego. La ropa en el suelo, la foto, los recuerdos, nuestra casa, nuestros besos. Eras vecino y yo fuego. Eras la mecha que encendía mis incendios. Pienso, aún así no hay culpables. Esta no es una corte, los dos fuimos kamikaze. Fuiste mi hogar, mi amante, mi mejor amigo, mi espejo, mi pana, mi mejor confijo. Guardo tus cartas para tener recuerdos. Crecí contigo, la ternura, nuestro sello. Aprendimos de lo malo, lo bueno. Hoy nos despedimos sin rencor ni desprecios. Hay amores que no mueren, pero quedan callados. Amores complejos, enredados. Promesas rotas, fotos de antaños. Tantas canciones que nos dedicamos. Adiós. No significa guerra. Despedirse parte de soltar la rienda. A veces amar también se suelta. Gracias, sé feliz de vuelta. Te debo soltar. Que todo comienza al final. Que todo es temporal. Te debo dejar. Te debo soltar.
Marchitas, el viento en las lava. Las gotas de los ojos avergüenzan su mirada.
Yo, piso recuerdos como vidrios en el suelo. Cada trozo me atraviesa, sangro raps en el duelo. Nos matamos de cariño, de exceso. Confundimos ternura con cadenas de preso. Te di mi universo, pintaste mi destino. ¿Qué pasó que nos quedamos a medio camino? Ese medio divino. El resto no lo vimos, todo iba bien hasta que nos conocimos. Cada caricia un pacto, cada abrazo una canción. Un viaje sin mapa ni dirección. Amor sin medida causa destrucción. Incendio sin control, humo en nuestro rol. El eco de tu voz aún vibra en las paredes. Habita nostalgia aunque ya no se puede. No hay vuelta atrás, ya no se retrocede. Fue un gusto hasta entonces, no se merece.
Fuimos pasión y desvelo. Hoy cenizas en el suelo. Fuimos fuego y ahora hielo, ahora nos toca este duelo. Fuimos pasión y desvelo, hoy cenizas en el suelo. Fuimos fuego y ahora hielo, ahora nos toca este duelo. Te debo dejar,
mejor así,
te debo soltar,
tú por allá y por allí.
Que todo comienza al final, que todo es temporal. Te debo dejar,
amiga. Tremendo.
En todo comienzo al final.
Estamos haciendo lo
que todo es temporal.
Allô, allô. Ouais, je suis désolée, je vais juste te laisser ce message. Et merci, merci pour tout vraiment.